Hello and welcome to the TMP podcast. Someone different today is not Kieran hosting, it's Dan Martin. I'm a senior coach at TMP. And today I have with me one of my superstar clients, Sarah Katzen. Sarah and I are about three quarters of the way through our evolution program now. And I'm conscious that I haven't spoken to many of my clients on the podcast. And Sarah's journey to where she is today has been nothing short of incredible. And I'm incredibly inspired by Sarah. And I know that there are many, many people out there who will also be equally inspired by Sarah and what she has achieved up until this point. And I know that this is going to be super, super valuable for many, many people. So I won't tell your story for you, Sarah. I'm sure we're going many different directions from here. But if you were to paint a picture for the listeners of what it's like to exist in Sarah's world right now, what would that picture look like?
Right now is very different to when I started with you. And that's genuinely not me just trying to like big up you because I'm on the podcast. But if you had have asked me that same question potentially a year ago, it would have been a very different answer to now. So right now I'm in a much better headspace than I would have been before starting with yourself.
Great. Like
with my business, it was everything it has been going really well. But I think it just shows when you look at Instagram, when you look at social media, you're seeing the perfect side of everything. You're seeing highlights. And it's often spoken about enough or a lot, but I don't think people genuinely understand. You know, you can look at other people and say, oh, their story is really inspiring. They, you know, they've everything sorted. They have their whole life just ticked off now. You know, they've gone through the shit stuff, but looking from the outside in, they have it all sorted now. I don't think anyone ever has everything sorted. Even if you do work on your mindset, your business, and everything is going really well, maybe, you know, financially or in your relationships, I think you're always evolving and always changing and always running into roadblocks. So I don't know if I'm going on a tangent here, but my world, I suppose, is very different to where it was before I began with you.
I love that. Thank you for sharing. We can go back into what was going on a year ago, but something that comes to mind for me, there was a conversation that I had with, it was my cousin, actually, when I was at a really, really low point of my life. And it centered around that notion of looking to everybody else and going, why can't I figure it out? Why is everybody else moving in the right direction? And I feel so stuck chasing my tail all the time. And my cousin could tell that I was in a really rough place at the time. And he looked me dead in the eye and he went, Dan, nobody's got a fucking clue what they're doing.
Yeah.
It looks like they do, but nobody has any idea what they're doing. And it was almost relieving in a way, because it's true. Everybody is just completely winging it. And it might look like some people have got it all put together and are very switched on, but particularly as entrepreneurs, we're always kind of feeling in the dark, right? Trying to find where things are, and there's always going to be unexpected twists and turns around every single corner. And to have a belief that everybody who you see in this online digital world has got it all figured out is frankly naive, because they're just as stuck as you are.
Yeah,
they really are.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a really powerful insight. So let's go back a year ago then. We started working together about 3.5-4 months ago, around that sort of time. Would you say that 12 months ago from now, so early 2023, is when you was kind of peak struggle?
Yeah, I would say last summer was probably when I was peak struggle. Yet from the outside looking in, you know, my challenges were selling out. I was filled with clients. I have amazing coaches working for me. I'm living in Spain. I'm in an 11-year relationship. I'm very gratefully fortunate to be able to travel back and see my family. Every box was being ticked, yet I felt like the walls were coming in around me. And I wouldn't be one to overly speak about my emotions to people. And I just try show that highlight, which I felt I had to, because I was looking at other highlights. So to me, it was like, if I'm struggling or if I'm finding things difficult, you know, I have people paying money to help them. So why am I going to tell my struggles when I need to show that I'm able to help someone else? And it was when I really realized that, you know, you can't pick your family, but you have the choice of whether you want to live with your family. You have the choice of if you want to stay with your partner. You have the choice of whether you want to, you know, continue to be friends with the friend group, but you are always going to live with yourself, and you're the only person that you are going to live with for the rest of your life. So if you're not content with the person that you are and the thoughts that you're having, then that's the position that you're always going to be in if you don't work on that. And I had every box ticked off, yet my mindset was the only box that was completely just not ticked. There was not even a haze in there. So that was the box that I needed to work on, because every other box was starting to, you know, become unticked, and everything else was falling down around me then. My services, I felt, weren't as good because that box wasn't ticked. It was funny. We had a call one day and you brought up something from the TMP website or program, and it was the overwhelm or the burnout sheet. And that day when it was like, can you tick off, I don't know, it was like 3 or 6 or 10, and I literally ticked off every single one. And I'm sure other entrepreneurs or business women, businessmen can understand that you have to run a business. If you have a day where you wake up and you don't feel the best, unfortunately, there's things you got to do and you just have to get them done. So I was in that constant fight or flight mode every single day I woke up, that I never really took a second to think if I was okay, because I was looking after so many people every single day, whether it was, you know, making sure my coaches were happy in what they were doing, whether, you know, making sure my clients are on the right track. You know, and then even before me then, or my clients, it would be, how's my family? How's my friends? And I would never look after myself. And I was starting to decrease with that. So as an entrepreneur, I would feel guilty if I took time off. I would, you know, if I had an hour to spare, I couldn't see the side of, well, why don't you go for an hour walk? Why don't you, you know, get your nails done? Why don't you just, you know, read a book? To me, it was like, is that book educational? When I'm getting my nails done, can I get her to work on one hand so that I can work on my phone on the other hand? It was always, what can I do to still be working? Because I'm a failure if I'm not constantly working, or I'm not the best if I'm constantly working. Which I suppose is a side of potentially why I've built a business. I don't think you'd be able to build a business if you didn't have that drive, but there's drive and then there's driving yourself into the ground.
Absolutely. And just for context for the listeners, could you just give a really quick overview of like what it is that you're managing? Because you've got 3, I believe, different channels within your business of how you interact with people. And there's a lot of moving parts, right, in what you do. So if you just give a quick overview of like what your business looks like in terms of the different coaching avenues.
So I have a tiered system. So my first system is my app. So I created an app and launched it in June this year, which has nearly 1500 ladies on it, which is incredible. So, you know, that doesn't have check-ins, but it's constantly checking in with the Facebook group. You know, they're getting calories, macros, and constantly updating videos. So the app, then the next one is my 8-week challenges, which I've been running now for 4 years, and sold out 25 challenges with nearly 400 ladies in each, which again is incredible. So that is weekly check-ins where I have coaches as well and myself. And then the top tier would be the one-to-one coaching. So it goes up almost like a ladder of what the client needs.
Thank you for sharing that. So the important point is really the subconscious software, which is, I have to be working all the time. If not, I am a failure. Mm-hmm. And that's a central theme to the work that we've done throughout the course of the program, really, isn't it? Trying to understand and unpack where that comes from, because all of these subconscious lines of code that we operate from within our human operating system all come from somewhere. And in the same way that your mobile phone needs iOS in the case of Apple, or whatever it is in the case of Samsung, in order to function properly, unless we kind of look beneath the bonnet, metaphorically speaking, and try to understand where these beliefs are coming from, then we end up trapped in this self-perpetuating cycle of overwhelm and burnout in your case. So what have you learned which has allowed you to move beyond that perpetual cycle of overwhelm and burnout?
Unfortunately for me, I think I had to reach that burnout until I realized that I, you know, couldn't continue the way I was going. For me, the reason why I did sign up for you, and I don't mind saying this, was, you know, my health was starting to deteriorate. So I hope other people might listen to this and don't let it get that far. But mine did get to the point that it was, my health was suffering. I was losing a lot of weight. I was, you know, focusing on everything else around me other than myself. So that was probably the point that the health, and when others started to tell me I needed to reach out, that's when I, you know, reached out to you. I was becoming a shit friend, shit family member. Can I curse on this podcast?
Sure, crack on.
I was becoming a poor partner, you know, and you might ask them and they might say, oh no, you weren't, like, you know, you were just building your business. But what's a successful business if you don't have that, you know, support group around you? And your support group are, of course, if they love you, they will stay around. But, you know, they're humans as well. If someone's really, really difficult, or, you know, not showing them any care back, it's going to be difficult for them as well to show support. And I just realized that I was not being a good friend, family member, and all of that was really important to me. Yet it had become not important to me as well at all. It was, how can I grow my business? Okay, well, you know, I haven't spoken to my friends in a while, but how can I grow my business? It was always coming back to that. And even, for instance, like with stories on Instagram, I would have a really busy day, but I would feel I had to show other people that I was working. So I would put up a story of like what I had done that day. And it was always trying to, you know, prove to others, this is what I've done, because I would always fear that others thought, ah, she's just an Instagram influencer. I'm like, I work hours behind the laptop. And it was that feeling of, I'm not even working now for myself. It's just to prove to others what I'm doing. So it was when I started to actually realize all of these things, rather than them being in the subconscious mind, I brought them to the conscious mind and realized that, you know, none of this has to happen for me to still have a successful business, but have, you know, a healthy relationship, family, friends, everything working around that as well. It is possible to have all of that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a really interesting paradox, right? Because a lot of people, I'm pretty confident you'll fall into this camp, decide to become online coach, some kind of online entrepreneur / solopreneur, because they are seeking environmental and psychological and financial freedom for the most part. So they kind of pack their train full of things on the way, on the tracks towards freedom. And in the first instance, they've got their hands on all the controls. They're pulling all the levers, going, yep, I can see it on the horizon, freedom, just over there. And then actually they end up shoveling so much coal into the train that the train starts taking off without them, and they end up this kind of weird, like, lost passenger holding on for dear life on the passenger on the train, whereby it's kind of got a mind of its own, soaring on without real direction as to what they're looking for, lost sight completely of that elusive freedom that most people begin with trying to chase. Yeah. And in your case, it's really fascinating because you'd been through several different therapists and counselors in the past and had quite a lot of frustration insofar as people not understanding your unique kind of challenges and struggles, right? Could you speak to your experience? Don't necessarily have to go into the granular detail of what it was like working as a therapist, but what the frustrations were on your part and how that is different to what you've experienced within TMP.
So I had signed up for a few different therapists, and I know people say, oh, I just didn't dwell with them, or, you know, it just didn't work out. But for me, I didn't know what I needed. So I needed someone else to tell me what I needed, which was my main roadblock. I had put in everything that I was kind of struggling with. And, you know, I had calls with a therapist and they were saying, okay, well, you know, why don't we just do this, or, you know, start journaling. And we've even gone through journaling, and, you know, then we've come to a point of, okay, well, you know, journaling mightn't be for you, but why don't we do this? And that other thing has worked for me. So it was, you know, I find TMP finds out what you're struggling with, but then it doesn't just give you a one blanket statement, finds out what works for you. And I just wasn't receiving that. But with TMP, it was more so that it's therapy, but it's within your business. And that's what I needed, because that was my main struggle. You know, very gratefully, it wasn't a case of that my, you know, I needed relationship help, or, you know, it wasn't an exact issue that maybe came from childhood, yet we've gone through so much of that, and that all comes into it. But I didn't even know that. You were able to help me understand that. Whereas I feel with my experience with other therapists, it was, tell me what happened when you were younger, and then I can tell you what we can do. And I didn't have a clue. So it's with TMP, it's just been so different, because it works with me as an entrepreneur, but brings in the therapist side of it. So I feel so much more equipped and able to work on my business while working on myself as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do often receive feedback similar to that, insofar as, you know, we do no business coaching. We don't go into any form of business coaching for the most part, but because you are central to your business, by understanding how you work, how you perform best, where your strengths are, where your weaknesses are, and building up your character and your self-belief, that has an inherent effect on your business, because you are the central person within that business, right? So thinking about the kind of therapeutic type work that we've done, which generally takes place in the first third of the program, what would you say have been some kind of standout moments for you that have stuck? Because we have something called sticky ideas, right? We're receiving millions and millions of bits of information every second, and understandably, not all of it's going to stick in our mind. But I say the term sticky ideas because every now and again, we'll get something and that will just stick in our mind. Sometimes it'll be something completely irrelevant that we can't really understand why we're holding on to. Other times it's something really quite profound that we might make in a therapy or performance coaching session as a breakthrough. So using that sticky thought idea as a lens to view the relationship that we've had within your coaching program, what jumps out to you as kind of key pivotal moments?
I think we had a call once, and the main one that stuck out to me was allowing the feelings to be there and not, like, almost being okay with them, and talking to my younger self, which might sound weird for other people, because me 6 months ago now listening to this would be like, that's all woo-woo shit. But we had been speaking, and one of my biggest things was feeling of failure. You know, anything I achieved, but it wasn't the next thing. It wasn't what I wanted to do. You know, I would hit my next goal, but okay, cool, let's get rid of that now. What's the next thing? It was always more and more and more. And, you know, I was just never content with anything. And we had kind of talked about, okay, well, you know, when I was younger and when I was, you know, when I was heavier or younger, and I was always, you know, feeling like I was the bigger girl or never content with myself, that I would then feel, oh, well, I'm failing. I can't, you know, achieve the body that I wanted when I was younger. So that feeling of failing was always installed in me. And we had obviously spoken about other things, you know, family, that I probably won't get into on the podcast, but there were so many things that I didn't even know was still in the back of my head. But it wasn't just trying to get rid of them. It was acknowledging them and saying, you know, I have evolved and I've grown since then, but it's not to be annoyed at how I reacted or how I was as a person back then. You know, I was not treating people the best because I was feeling like a failure. I was annoyed at myself. So I was then projecting them onto others. And we've recently now realized that, you know, I would be quite emotional or upset about how I would have spoken to people in the past, or, you know, I didn't think, well, that's not me. So why did I speak like that? Why do I feel like I'm a constant failure? Because that's not how I speak to others. And it's acknowledging that that was the person who I was then, but it's kind of being kinder to that and speaking to the older Sarah, knowing that it's okay. Like, we've evolved since then. We can become different people. And I've also now realized that maybe there's some things I still do now that maybe in 5 years' time I'll have evolved from, and I'll look back and be like, okay, well, you know, we're still growing. We can still change. I think if I met myself 10 years ago, not that I wouldn't like the person I was, but she probably wouldn't be in my circle now because she was quite negative. And, you know, before I started with TMP, I would probably have said, oh, that girl was nasty. That girl was not a nice person. That girl, you know, didn't want the best for others because she didn't have everything she wanted. But now I would look at it and say, you know, that girl was confused. She was lost, and she just hadn't found the route she wanted to go in, but it doesn't make her a nasty person. And I think then being kinder about that has now allowed me to grow a little bit more past that. And also realize that we're not perfect. No one's perfect. Everyone fucks up. And if I do have, I don't know if anyone listening has read the book, The Chimp Paradox. If I do have that kind of other side of my brain where we all have moments of, we go into fight or flight, or, you know, we see red with something, I'm now a lot quicker at rationalizing it as to be like, okay, well, why am I feeling like this? Or, you know, if my partner says something and I'm like, oh, fuck, why did Anto say that? Like, you know, maybe I can react a little bit different. Whereas me 8 months ago would probably be like, Anto, why did you say that? So I think I've just started to try understand everything before being very hot-headed and just lashing out at myself and also others.
Yeah, that's a great share. We've all got an emotional bank account, right? And when we first met, your emotional bank account was kind of very much withdrawn. There wasn't a lot of space in there at all. So that something triggering, when it came up for you, it would just result in an eruption of emotion. And then it would only be after the fact that that kind of whole cycle would cease, and you could look back and go, well, didn't like how I behaved there, but it would just be this repetitive kind of cycle because there was no space in your emotional bank account, right? It was all kind of empty. So that's now changed because we've done so much work on the past. And what a lot of people don't realize, whether it's conscious or unconscious, perhaps because they don't want to acknowledge it, is that the things that we are not so happy with in the present are almost always a direct result of things that have happened in the past. Yeah. And those things that happened in the past are very rarely our fault. You know, our parents, not through any fault of their own, will fuck us up. They will. Yeah. They're not intentionally doing that. It's just that as children, we are, as I've explained to you, inherently narcissistic, right? We believe that the whole world revolves around us. So that if anything happens within our world that is not ideal, we will always perceive it to be our fault.
Yeah.
So we form these beliefs based on things that go wrong that we believe are our fault, which then create the perception that we have of ourselves later on in life. Mm-hmm. And by revisiting those often over and over again, looking at key themes that crop up, in your case, failure, that was a kind of key word that came up over and over again. We go back and there's always going to be a series of events that are connected to what we perceive to be shortcomings within ourselves. In your case, it was this failure. And I think what happened with you was there was a series of different events in your past connected to this theme of failure. And we didn't crack it at once. We had to go back there over and over and over again until there was this moment where it just kind of clicked.
Yeah.
It was actually in between a session, right? It was in between the sixth and seventh session, I think we had. And it was like, something's happened. Something's changed here. It wasn't a direct result of what we did in that moment. It was just a compound effect of revisiting the past, or understanding, okay, well, what's going on in the present? Do we need to make some changes to structure and implement little boundaries and downtime and here and this and that and this and that? And then something clicks, right? And it's like, oh, I kind of get it. Everything's coming together now. But ultimately, the key takeaway is we need to resolve our past. We need to understand what has happened to us and what we're resisting accepting within ourselves. Acceptance and forgiveness are the two key words that come up here. It's understanding that actually we're never going to be able to change the past until time machines are invented, which maybe they will, the advent of AI. We don't know. That could happen, but we can't put all of our eggs in that basket. We need to understand that we're never going to be able to change the past, but what we can do is change how we feel about the past and how we relate to our past. And that's exactly what you've done in understanding that. Yeah, okay, I might not have been the best person in the world back then, but unfortunately, I can't do anything about that. And importantly, we are all doing the best that we can with the resources that we have available to us. And that's okay. We can't expect any more of ourselves than that, doing the best that we can. So well done. You've arrived at a place of acceptance by the sounds of things.
Yeah, that is the exact word that I could not think of the whole time I rambled on, was the word acceptance. I have accepted how I felt. But something you mentioned there, which was really stood out and we had gone through a lot, was, you know, when we did go back to my past and when that moment did click of that failure, you know, sorry, I hadn't mentioned on the podcast either, I had dropped out of college a couple of times and my parents were so amazing because I was not in school and I was in school and I was not working at the time. So I wasn't able to afford my first college course. And, you know, when I dropped out, this is like nothing even to do with my parents. This is just human. If your child drops out and wastes a lot of money, you're probably going to be a little bit pissed off, like I would be. And, you know, then I dropped out of another college course. So I was always that feeling of like, oh, I've dropped out of college. I'm a failure at that. I've wasted people's money. I'm a failure at that. So that was constantly stuck in my head. But I do also think that, you know, looking back at the start, I was like, oh, well, my parents shouldn't have told me that I, you know, had wasted money or whatever it was. But now I'm like, well, a lot of our parents back then, therapy wasn't really a thing. And it was actually a taboo topic back then. And people would more than likely only go to therapy back then when there was something, I suppose, quote unquote, like bigger or, you know, needed therapy, maybe like a grief. And it wouldn't have been emotions or financial or anything like that. So now even one of my acceptance is, okay, well, if I had a kid right now and they had gone to college and, you know, consistently wasted a bit of money, I might, you know, talk to them a little bit different, but I would probably still have emotions that would be, okay, well, that's my finance, or, you know, it's a frustrating topic, but I'll talk to them differently. It's acceptance that, you know, my parents were doing a fucking unbelievable job. Whereas at the time I was young and I was like, how dare they, you know, be annoyed at me. I don't know where I'm going. I haven't found my purpose. And it's just being acceptance that they didn't have maybe the help or help with emotions that we all do now. That I had probably had a little bit of vengeance or annoyed that because I wasn't able to achieve something, I then put it on them that it was, they've caused this feeling of failure. But it wasn't. It was just that I've now accepted, you know, that person who I was back then is just very different to now. And not everyone is going to react the same as how you react. So it's trying to take everyone as different and seeing that we all have different emotions and we all, you know, show them completely differently as well.
You're no longer making everything about you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not easy to get to that point. You know, if I go back into my past, I would always base my perception of other people on how things would make me feel. And whilst that can be a good thing, because that is in essence what empathy is, right? It's looking towards other people and putting yourself in their shoes to understand, well, how would I feel if I was in that situation? That's helpful to a degree. But if we are basing our kind of judgments on other people, on what our core beliefs are, well, that's when it becomes a bit of a problem. And usually it comes because there's something unresolved within ourselves. You know, there's a famous psychologist, psychotherapist called Carl Jung from the mid-1900s who came up with this concept of the shadow. And the shadow, he says, is the parts of ourself that we suppress, we repress, we subjugate, and we push away because we don't feel safe to present those to the world. And that's really what the opposite of authenticity is. Authenticity is just being completely open, honest, and truthful about all of our ideas and beliefs and conceptions about the world. But a lot of people don't feel safe to do that. Mm-hmm. So when we push all of that stuff away, we create what Jung conceptualized as being the shadow. But when we do that, what we're creating is this separation between our true self, the self who we are supposed to be, and who we are actually presenting to the world. And when we start presenting a false version of ourselves to the world, well, guess what? We put false perceptions on people and people don't get the real us, which is where we start kind of judging ourselves and looking to ourselves within a kind of negative light. And perhaps that could be what was going on for you here when you was looking back to your past going, I don't like that person. Yeah. In accepting that version of yourself, what you've done really is integrate your shadow. Now, that's difficult work because it's confronting the parts of ourselves that we've pushed away for many, many years. But actually in doing that difficult work in the short term, you create a much more authentic and true version of yourself in the long term. Does that make sense how I've explained that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I also felt like I felt like I was also stuck as well. You know, my mom would always say to me, Sarah, I saw blah, blah, blah down the shop. And she just said to me, Sarah is the most, you know, polite, kind, amazing girl. And my mom also thought so the same. I'm not saying she didn't. But in my head, I felt I was that person when I would meet other people. But I was not really that person to my family. I definitely wasn't. And that stuck with me so much that I felt like I had become a person that was, you know, caring about my business and caring about myself so much that I had actually probably become selfish because I wanted something I wasn't achieving, but I was not looking after myself, even though I was selfish. And because I was a certain someone, you know, I was still a kind, loving person, but with that hot-headed and, you know, snapping, I had become a family member that I didn't want to be, but I was scared to change. I was scared to almost be nicer or, you know, be a better person because I thought others would think I'm being fake or not my authentic self because that wasn't the person I've been for 18 years. And now I've realized that you can change when you're 40, you can change when you're 50. And I've never, in the last 6 months, I feel so authentically myself. And as well with starting TMP, like I don't do anything for anyone else that I don't want to do. I'm a yes person, but I also, does it stick with my values? Is it something I want to do? You know, is it going to make me feel better? And I've also now realized that that's not being selfish. When I was maybe selfish before, looking after yourself is not being selfish. And it's actually only going to help the relationships around you. For instance, I haven't drank now for, you know, nearly 2 months. And that was something, a goal of mine for with you, that I just wanted to give it up for a time being. I was by no means alcoholic. I just, you know, going out on the weekends, having a few drinks here and there. But I always had to go out and get absolutely blackout drunk when I was drinking. Because what's the point of having a couple? May as well get drunk if I'm drinking. And I then started to realize that I was doing that most weekends. Why was I doing that most weekends? Because I wanted to, you know, completely go a little bit numb for a couple of hours. I loved my job. I loved my family. I loved my friends. I loved everything going on. But it was a couple of hours that I would completely de-stress. And I realized that that's just not de-stressing. It's only causing the anxiety that was cropping up. And because the anxiety was so bad, I would become agitated and then starting to revert back to that person that I didn't want to be. So it's now I've been able to make a decision of, Will I drink again? Potentially, I'll have a few. But right now is just a period that, you know, I'm really starting to work on who I want to be. And I've just become such a better family member, a better person. And this is all then relaying back into my business. So while TMP isn't essentially just about your business, or just therapy, it helps on everything. So everything starts to come together.
Yeah.
I'm potentially going off on rambles every time you ask me a question, but
no, it's great. It's what we're here for. Yeah. That's exactly what we're here for. Yeah. Looking after yourself is not inherently selfish, because what you're doing there is getting yourself firmly back to your queen. And we haven't been through this in great detail yet, but we are going to. We've got archetypes, almost like characters that we play throughout different parts of our life, especially in business. So there's the king or queen, the warrior, the magician, and the lover. So the magician is that part of you which is very creative. So think about when you're taking time out in a week to think about different content ideas, or maybe you're thinking about new workshops that you could put together for your clients, or maybe thinking about what you and your partner could do that would be something a bit unusual, a bit creative. The warrior, on the other hand, is when you've just got shit to do. You've got work that you need to do, so you have to roll your sleeves up and just get shit done. Maybe that's a day of like check-ins, for example. You are firmly locked in to getting your work done. Your lover is when you're spending time with your partner, right? We need that time. And then your king or queen, well, that's when you just get back into a position of control and logic and reason. And think about what a king or queen must do. They must look after and nourish their king or queendom. We need that. Now, all of these archetypes have their place, but if we spend too long in one of them, then it has a negative impact on everything else. And what most coaches that I see doing is stuck in their warrior. They're just grinding all the time. They just want to go, build, without any real direction. Think about that train analogy that I described a moment ago. They're just kind of stuck on this hedonic train of success, perceived success. And actually, we need to get back to our king or queen, particularly if we spend too much time in that warrior, because if we keep pushing, we're going to end up burnout and overwhelmed, just like you were. And now you're able to step back into your queen and go, actually, let me look at my queendom. Is this genuinely bringing me and my queendom nourishment? If yes, it's okay. If no, I need to make a change. And you're able to get back there more and more often now. Does that land and make sense in how I've explained it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And like, as I said, or you said, we're only 3/4 of the way in. So I still know I've so much to work on. Do I give myself enough time still? Absolutely not. But I'm still so much further than I was 6 months ago. And, you know, I think if someone was a completely different person in 6 months, had no worries, no, you know, you can still be a different person and you'll still have the odd worry or you'll still work on everything. But, you know, I do think worry is normal as well. You know, we're all going to worry about different things. Do I give myself 100% of that queen time? Not yet. You know, I'm still working on that, and that's a work in progress. But it's acknowledging now that, you know, little things like you have me now using Google Calendar and different colors for warrior, for queen, for lover mode. And I actually had a call the other day and they were setting up my system for my Google Calendar, and it was like lover mode in green, and then underneath I had Anto's name, and it was like a 6-hour block. And your mom was like, God, Sarah, you're really giving your boyfriend a lot of time, aren't you? It's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. But it can really show you when even little things, I'm a visual learner, that I had so much of that warrior color and I had very little of yellow, which was my queen, and realized that I only had, you know, my 5 gym sessions and that was the yellow. There was nothing else. And last week was the first week that I realized that. And I then said, okay, well, I need to plan something. So, you know, I booked in my nails because I just used that as my time. And now I've started to realize that if I book in a couple of things for myself, I'm actually way more productive on my warrior time, because I'm like, well, you know, I've got to get shit done if I want to do something for myself. Whereas when I was stuck in, you know, and I'm still working on it, but when I was stuck in that warrior mode all the time, I could work maybe, you know, 12, 13 hours, but I was probably only getting 6 hours worth done because I was procrastinating. Because to me, even though I was procrastinating, I was still semi-working. So, you know, that's better than taking time off, because why, if you're an entrepreneur and you're building your business, you shouldn't have time to yourself, which was the mindset I had.
Yeah. 1 hour of solid work at 100% effort is better than 12 hours at 40-50%, which is what most people do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've realized now, if there's any coaches listening to this, quality over quantity. My life has changed. Like, all I was thinking was the more hours, you know, as much content as I could physically record, but they were all starting to become wishy-washy. Whereas now it's okay, well, this is what we're doing each week, and, you know, structuring as much as I can. And because of that, the quality of my service is so much better.
Absolutely. And something which we've done some work on recently is outsourcing. Now, the level that you're at, overall, you're servicing more than 2,000 clients in total, right? So a lot of that is within an app, so that you haven't kind of got to be there and service them one-to-one, but there's still a lot of management and overseeing that needs to take place there, as well as managing a team and coaches and whatever. Now, at your level, you were still editing all of your videos, for example, which was taking up how many hours per week?
Probably I'd say 8 hours of just editing
a week. 8 hours of editing per week, right? And you may enjoy it, yeah, and if you do enjoy it, then that's great, but the overarching message here is that you were so overwhelmed and burnt out that you didn't know where you were a lot of the time. And something that I said to you, that I'd say to any coach who's at a similar kind of level, or maybe pushing up to get to a similar level where Sarah is, that jobs like that, which maybe you might enjoy, but actually, if we're being completely honest, there are many other people out there who could do a much better job than you, and actually be very beneficial. You're quite frankly too expensive to be doing jobs like that, particularly where you're going, where you want to take your business, where you want to take your life, build the lifestyle that you want. Your time is far better spent elsewhere in what I would call your genius zone, right? So a couple of recent developments that you've made are, you know, outsourcing a lot of your marketing and strategy, and then looking at your videography and your post-production, going, well, actually, how could I leverage somebody else who enjoys this stuff and is really good at this stuff? And that's also allowed you to take a bit of a step back and claim more of your power back, right?
Yeah, that was, and like we actually only did this last week, so this is very new. Dan literally said to me, you need to have an editor by the end of the week. I was like, what? Something I had been doing for so long. Like, it's hard to change that. But for me, it wasn't, you know, I'm a coach. I help people lose weight, gain muscle. I, you know, very good coach. But with editing, essentially, you know, that's, it's not coaching, but it's a large part of the job, because I have to put content out every day. And for me, the editing wasn't even enjoyable anymore. But I felt extremely embarrassed to ask for help, because I thought someone else would think, oh, she won't even edit her own videos now. Like, who does this one think she is? So, you know, I just didn't want to outsource that. You helped me get in touch with Ben, which has now helped with, you know, my email marketing and all of that, which I had nothing in place. You know, for me, it was like, if I ask someone else, then that's, you know, people are going to think that I don't work. And it was always just a fear. And I'm still, again, working on it, because sometimes I do think, oh God, if I get too much outsourcing, people are going to think that I'm not coaching anymore, which is never going to be the case. You know, as I said, I'm a coach. I'm not an advertiser. I'm not, I don't have a notion about the back end of a website. If I start to learn about that, and then taking away time that I can become an even better coach. But for me, it was, I felt like I had to juggle absolutely everything to prove to others that I was the best that I can be. Now I've realized that editing isn't coaching. It's okay to outsource that. And if I can gain back 8 hours to then study more for coaching, take on an extra client, help more people, work on my app, add to my services, well, isn't that 8 more hours better for my job, and I'm still putting out the content to help people for free, but I'm just have someone helping me edit it. I'm sorry, that's actually the first time I've said that out loud, that it makes sense. Whereas, you know, even last week I was kind of like, oh God, I don't even want to tell people I have an editor, because they'll think I'm not working. And it's still a part of me that I sometimes think I'm not doing enough, but it's realizing that you can actually do more if you outsource. And you know, you're, what's the word? I think we've said it before, a master of all trades. I was trying to be a master of all trades.
Yeah.
But yet I was starting to reduce the level of service that I was giving, because I don't think it's physically possible to be a master at every trade.
Right. Yeah. And this speaks to the notion of you becoming the CEO of your business. Again, another concept that I introduced you to throughout the program, right? It's like thinking like a CEO. What does a CEO have in a business? Well, they have a board of directors. They have marketing director, operations director, HR director, all of these different people who have each gone through their own journey of personal development in order to specialize in that particular area. Now, as online business, slightly different insofar as it's not common for us to actually employ people in that capacity. Some businesses do that if they get to that level. But what we do have are many different people who are each masters of their craft, and they can do a much better job at a much quicker rate than you can, or I certainly could, as video editing as an example. So it makes sense to leverage their skills and free up time so that actually the quality of the video content in your case that goes out will be a hell of a lot better than you could do, which will be received very, very well by your audience, which, by the way, probably don't care whether you edit it or not. All they care is, am I getting value from this? Yes or no? In your case, yes, they will be, probably even more so now. And you've got more time to go and do whatever you want. So it's easy to get caught up in these thought patterns of, what will my audience think? They don't care. They don't care whether you're editing your video or not. All they care is whether it's giving them some kind of ROI in terms of the time they invest into it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So what's the biggest thing that you're looking forward to in 2024?
Probably enjoying it more.
Mm.
I know that sounds so silly, but I feel like the last 5 years have just kind of all rolled into one, that it's been the most incredible few years, but I don't even really know how I've got here, because I haven't had much help. Now I've had, you know, one of my coaches have been with me, I think 2.5 years now. My other coach is with me nearly a year. So I don't mean I haven't had help, but because now I have outsourced the likes of editing, and I feel like I now have a lot more structure around my business, that I can work on it so much more and give a better service and actually enjoy it, rather than constantly feeling fight or flight. Therefore, you know, everything else was kind of falling down around me. My health has become so much better recently. I feel a lot more alert, whereas I was kind of walking around with a lot of brain fog. And that to me was something that was just, oh, you know, it's time of my month, I have brain fog, or whatever it might be. It was always excuses. Whereas now I've realized it was, you know, just that's the way I was functioning because I had so much going on. You know, also someone listening to this, you can still work on yourself and have days where you're just feel like there's not enough hours in the day. I had one of them yesterday. And I went to see during the day, oh, well, what am I going to cook for dinner? So I took a packet of bacon out, and a couple of hours later, I went to cook it and realized I'd left it in a cupboard with all the cups because, you know, my brain was everywhere during the day. There's still going to be moments like that. But for this year, now accepting who I was and that it's okay that I've completely changed, and that's a good thing. This year, knowing that it's okay to outsource things that I don't need to be a master of. This year, accepting that if there's an hour outside of my work, I'm allowed to give that hour to myself, whether it's a run, a walk. That run and walk don't have to be listening to educational podcasts. It can be listening to a comedy podcast if I want. And that, you know, I'm the creator of my own life, and that I need to give myself the respect that I give my clients and give everyone else around me. Because if you don't give yourself the respect, then, you know, you're not going to become the best version of yourself, and you may start disliking the person that you are. And that's what had happened to me. So I'm determined now to, you know, make sure that I'm this new person that I want to be, and I'm happy with the person that I am as well.
That is wonderful. And the final point, what does total mental performance mean to you?
To be honest, it's my safe space. You know, I don't like to speak about my emotions. I don't like to say when I'm feeling lost. I don't like to hold my hands up and say, I'm lost and I don't know what's going on. I've found that TMP, like, I come on to some of the calls and I say to you, Dan, I've nothing to say today. And sometimes that's the call that goes over, and I'm the one, you know, I've maybe cried, I've had emotions, and I didn't even think I had anything to chat to you about. But every time I've come away from the call, I've gone into Anto and I've said, oh my God, I can't believe that that's why I feel like this. Or, you know, this is, it all makes sense. And I think TMP is exactly that. Everything starts to make sense when it hasn't made sense for a very long time. And it's going to be completely different for everyone, depending on why you've started with TMP. But I don't think you can start TMP and not start to make sense of what isn't making sense. Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense. Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Beautifully articulated. And final point then, where can people find you in terms of your socials? Where are you? And if people have been inspired and want to learn more about you, what you're up to, where you're heading as we move into this new year, where can people find you?
The best place to find me would be my Instagram. So Sarah Catterson Coaching on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And then from there, you'll be able to find me everywhere else. I'm also on TikTok, Facebook. I have a podcast called In an Imperfect World. And also my website, but Instagram's going to bring you everywhere.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Sarah. I've deeply enjoyed this. This has been amazing. I'm super excited to continue our TMP journey together. And thank you to everybody listening as well.
Thank you so much for having me on.
My pleasure. Thank you.
So that's us for today, team. I want to say a huge thank you for spending this portion of your life listening to us. A couple of things before you disappear. If you're not already following us on Instagram, you can find all of our daily content on mindset and hitting peak performance at Total Mental Performance, or our website, www.totalmentalperformance.com. If you haven't already, please subscribe. You'll find us on Spotify, the Apple Podcasts, and all the other various different platforms. Big love. Thank you ever so much. And we're looking forward to speaking with you soon.